I interrupted you. You're just describing your first arrest and the deputation. And she put cardboard down your arm. Is that to stop people pinching you?
Yes,
what?
Corrugated.
Yes.
And two pieces so that my elbow, I could move it, you see. She tied it all up and here, which was a good thing. And because the chocolate that was put in my coat pocket, that was stolen, I never got it, thinking it was a purse. And I was walked with, I think, Mr. Brailsford and another gentleman in this. And I think it was Mr. Brailsford, he had his gold watch and chain stolen in this crowd. Of course, all the riffraff come out. And the crowds then, it was like what election meetings used to be in my young day. I can see them now swaying like a field of corn with the waves of the heads. It was so packed. And the mounted police were out. And when we got up to the palace gate, I can also remember so clearly the railings and the police there on horseback, and that's where I was knocked down. And I saw Keir Hardie there, and he was the only one that I could see that had come to see. And I remember so well, he was wearing a cap and he had a red sort of tie or handkerchief here. I don't know whether it was a tie or a handkerchief around his neck. And he was just simply watching it with a face of wonderment in a way of speaking. It was the first and only time I ever saw him. Then after that, then I was arrested for obstruction, etc. And I had some marbles in my pocket, which had not been taken. And I just took them and threw them down in a basement while I was arrested. But the policeman, he was very good. I wasn't rough handled like some of the women. I didn't think it was any use. I'd gone out knowing that it was breaking the law, and we'd done it for a purpose. And the object, of course, was for publicity and to Mrs. Pankhurst. They were in the vanguard, and we were only small fry compared to her. When we got to the Cannon Row police station, then there was such a crowd, they'd run out of charge sheets. And we had to be waiting all night and into the morning before Mr. Prethiklons came to bail us out. And he came when he came. And then we had to appear, I think we were selected alphabetically to Bow Street Police Court the next morning. We had to be there at 10:30. I have a photograph there where I'm sat with a suitcase and in the crowd. I don't know what I'm sat on, but there were all those Covent Garden porters saying, oh, jeering at us, and some cheery and making fun of us, of course. I can remember that all so well. Now, we were taken, although we had to appear, we had to go, and you will find that Miss Pepper was in that crowd, but her story is different to mine. She was in that, and because she'd got I was C, they evidently took them alphabetically. That's all I could think of. But I was pretty early in getting a conviction, and that was for 7 days in Holloway. Now, the others then, they were all then out on bail. It took over a week. And Miss Pepper knows that part of it, because she was one that had to go out and come back, and she stayed a week with friends. I don't know whether she went to prison or not.
But you were in prison for a week then?
Yes, yes.
I see. So you went straight to prison?
Yes.
And didn't your
in the Black Maria.
Didn't your husband try and get you out or bail you out at all?
Oh, I wouldn't be bailed out.
I see, yes.
See, yeah. No, that was the modus operandi, was that we had to stick it.
So what happened? You went in the Black Maria. It must have been a memorable experience for you.
Oh, it was ghastly.
What happened?
Oh, we were cooped up in a little square place. Like a, I don't know whether we'd call it a cubicle or what. But it was like it's just the width of this chair. And there was a bit of a window in it for ventilation. And there's a little corridor down the Black Maria. And then all these little cubicles, I don't know another name for them, then you were locked in those, see. And there was a policeman then inside, coachman I call it, and then we went, and there were no tires on Black Maria, and I tell you, we're rattling over the snow, you're up and down and down like this. And then when we got to the hallway, to the doors, all the rattling of chains and keys, we got in, and we became a number.
There were several of you together, were they, going in together?
Well, there was a Black Maria Falls. We couldn't see who was in, see, till we got out.
And then what happened when you got out?
And Lady Constance Lytton was one of them.
Was she?
Yes. She was in Holloway. I became very friendly with Lady Constance Lytton.
Did you really?
Oh, yes. She was marvellous.
What did
we used to whisper to each other on when we got into the yard, exercise yard.
What sort of person was she?
Oh, well, she was super. And a vegetarian, that's why. Strict vegetarian. Have you read her book?
I have, Prisons and Prisoners, yes, and her letters have been published as well.
Yes, have they?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know.
What
I have some nice letters from Lord Lytton.
You have?
Yeah.
Have you, very? Goodness. That's fascinating. What did you like about her, and what was attractive to you about her, really? She was very well bred, of course, wasn't she? I mean.
Yes, and she told me they were going to have a big bazaar with the Portman Rooms, and she was to be a stallholder. And this was a sort of Elizabethan period, and she asked me, when I was going out before her, and she said, would I take her place and take charge of her stall and wear her gowns, which had been made at a dressmaker's, because we were exactly the same figure. And this was an awful blow for my husband, who had sent a telegram coming to meet me to take me home. And I had to telegraph to him that I was staying on the Saturday to go to this bazaar, you see. And that was, of course, you see, one was always torn between duty, the heart, and the cause, were two separate things, see. But what one suffered with the heart, I wouldn't let my worst enemy know or suffer what that meant. That was part and parcel, which is nobody knew of, you see, but which was not only endured by me, but many others.
Well, you must have been worried about Ridge, wasn't you?
Everything. Mm. But my consolation was that I also had my mother behind me. I knew everything was cared for. And then I tried to comfort myself with that.
She took over your husband's household when you were away.
Absolutely.
She? Your husband got on well with your mother, did he?
Oh yes. Although the difference at the beginning and that. And my husband paid a tribute to her. When she died, he said, although she was so against me, he said, I consider she was the most noble, unselfish woman I ever met in my life. Mm. So that was a very generous tribute.
Mm. Anyway, you got your number and you went to a cell, I suppose, did you? You had to have your clothes taken off. You had to put on special clothes.
No, not then, because they'd got to the stage that we were political prisoners. We'd fought for that.
I see. Yes. But you weren't hunger striking at that time.
Oh
you?
No. Vegetarian. Mm. Hard boiled egg. Nearly black. It was so old.
Was it? I mean, it must have been very worrying in prison, but in a way, was it fun as well, in a way?
No.
Wasn't there a sort of feeling of companionship?
Well, then, the only thing is, then, we used to scrape the knives on the iron things and say, are we downhearted? And then the others would reply again, and no, you see, and we tried our best to keep our spirits up, but... Oh, it was horrid.
It was depressing, really, wasn't it?
So, yes.
Mm. Anyway, you had your week, and then you came to the bazaar, and then...
Yes. And so I took her place, and she gave me the key, and I went to her flat. She wasn't living there, she'd got a workman's flat near King's Cross. And so... That was that, so I did my part for her and the cause, of course, and then went home straight away. But and it raised a lot of money. It was a wonderful, wonderful bazaar. Thousands of pounds we raised. But she was so disappointed. Now, my connection with Lord Lytton was, years afterwards, I had been out shopping and I came back, and I switched on the radio, it was afternoon, and as soon as I heard anything, it was something about my Aunt Con. The voice was talking about my Aunt Con. And I sat down. I don't know why. But I had my hat and coat on. I hadn't taken it off. And he went on then and eventually the suffragette movement and the family, and that's what he was talking about. Well, it sort of opened up such an avenue of thought for me in the past and that. Then I began to be haunted about the program I had about the bazaar and her stall. And I had then the biggest house, and all these subject papers and things were in the loft. All that stacks of stuff at one time. And I was sort of impressed to write to him and send him this catalogue, which I did. And he wrote some these letters to me about his Aunt Con. And I told him he could keep the catalogue, which he did. And they're very interested. Now, when those people came from Bradford, whom you know, they were interested in history, and the gentleman, he was more interested in the letters from Lord Lytton than any of the other things I had.
Yeah.
So you must see them.
Yes, well, that's very interesting. They're in Leeds now, the letters.
No, they're in that box.
Oh, they really? I'd love to see them. That'd be very interesting.